Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week. You get the Crazy Sheet downloaded to your favorite podcasting app. We're on Google, we're on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on iHeartRadio. Damn it, we're everywhere. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the College Football Podcasting Studio, known as my backyard, and I can tell from looking at Scotty, he is not at home, which means the picks are going to be rolling this evening. Scotty, how the hell are you, and where the hell are you?
Hot, baby, but I'm on the road. Not wonderful furniture market, but I'm here. So a lot of time to look at lines. Looking forward to this weekend. Man, Mark, rough weekend. How about Dumbo Fisher officially ending the Nick Saban streak?
Yeah, I thought that was a crazy game. We can talk about it for a second. There's a lot of crazy games last week. We're going to try to pack everything in as fast as we can and get through this. I was Bama running the 2-4-5, 2-5-4 defense against A&M, and Jimbo not being so hard-headed to just to run the ball, I thought was good offensive play calling. Bama's defense did not step up. I think that linebacker core, with the injuries they've had, it's just not quite forming into it yet, and they've lost so many kids to the draft. I mean, that's no excuse. A&M beat that team. They out-game-planned them. They out-executed them. And everything we said about A&M and Zach Calzada coming into that game was dead-ass wrong. And so kudos
to those
guys.
Calzada played his mind out. We finally saw what everybody's been saying, that it's close. It's doing it in practice. It's only a matter of time until it translates to a game. And then we saw it. I mean, look, the kid at one point, his only incompletion, I think he was 11 of 12 or something, or 12 of 13, whatever it was. His only incompletion was a pick where the wideout went the wrong way. I mean, the kid played out of his mind. They did run the football well. I thought the most impressive thing for A&M was when Bama stormed by and got that lead, answering the bell, getting a stop, going down, winning the football game. I mean, look, that's the mark of a good football team. We knew A&M was talented. It's also pretty clear this team's not been playing up to its ability level based on what they did last week. But I think we saw again, like we saw on the road in Florida, can they do it on the road? I think we're looking at a freshman who's struggling on a road environment. And look, he's going on the road this week in Starkville, in a really loud, rowdy place. And people forget, while State's certainly not a rival to Alabama, because you can't be a rival to someone who's dominated you the way they have, those schools are right on top of one another, two closest schools together in the Southeastern Conference. And that game's got a little more spice to it than most people realize. And he's going to be in a rowdy, loud environment again. Now, State's not as talented as A&M, clearly, but it is a team who's playing better. Bottom line is, I think State's got a lot of talent coming into that, a lot of confidence coming into that game, knowing they beat a team that just beat Alabama. So I think it's interesting. I also think Alabama got caught thinking this isn't going to be that big of a deal. I really do. They played a couple of big games in a row, and then they're going back on the road, and they finally looked like a team that was a little inexperienced. And they dropped a bunch of balls. It was interesting watching Bama. I got crushed in that game. Everybody knows we took it. But I turned around and took them in the second half, too, and thought, you know, they're going to come back, and then that field goal just kills me. Lose it by the hook, on the winning score. But, you know, hey, that's gambling. That's why we do it. If anything was certain, you know, this would be an easy Saturday time, and it's not. So, big weekend. How about my man Sam Pittman?
Woo,
on
boy.
The road in Oxford, baby. Just going on the road. I love Sam Pittman.
I didn't like the play call.
Didn't like the play call at all. I
did not like
with
the play call there. And that was everything else about that game was fantastic. I thought that Ole Miss came out and did what they needed to do. I love the shootout between the brother-in-laws, the offensive coordinator at Arkansas, and obviously Kendall Briles at Arkansas and Jeff Levy at Ole Miss. I thought that was fascinating. Just trading haymakers with each other all day. Both of those teams are going to be fun. Arkansas, Sam Pittman has done such a wonderful job turning that program around. And I realize they've lost some games now, but just the level of belief that team has every single week that they step on the field I mean, they think they can win, and they're right there in those games, except for the Georgia game. But that is so far from where they were with Chad Morris just a year and a half ago. And so, I agree with you. And I mean, a lot of people laughed at Sam Pittman when they hired him. And I think you were the first person to tell me, it's like, this guy actually may be a really good fit for this Arkansas program. And I think you're right. He's definitely instilled a culture there that can go. I thought Lane and them did well. I mean, people don't realize Ole Miss because they've got so much talent. But, I mean, they were down their two best receivers in that game. And then Ely got hurt, and he didn't play parts of the second half. And so Matt Corral put that team on his shoulders and got it done. The kid is fun to watch. He is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, he is fun to watch. The other game that a couple of other games, actually, Georgia just comes out and in a huge rivalry game, just drills Auburn. I mean, Georgia's legit. That defense is nasty. They are so beat up at wide receiver. What is this team like if they haven't? Because I think they've lost. Now, their three best wide receivers coming into the game. I mean, coming into the season to injury. What's this team like if they're not having to play freshmen?
What's this team like if they don't have a walk-on quarterback?
Exactly. I mean, that defense is completely nasty. And then the other game, sticking in the Southeastern Conference, boy, how about LSU just going up and getting skull drug in Lexington? I mean, look, I hate we didn't take that game on the cast. I took it for me. I said it was a game that I liked, but gosh, I mean, they were just significantly the better team.
Yeah. Lexington apparently is where dreams go to die this season for teams. I mean, Florida's lost up there. LSU's lost up there. They're a good squad. I mean, he's built a good program there. They're offensively still a little bit challenged. LSU, to me, looks like this team is quitting. I was really surprised Ogeron was not let go this week. And then this week, the line is just going through the roof. And I think if Dan gets a chance, he's going to pound these guys.
He's going to gas can him if he can.
And I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think the turnout's going to be very good. LSU is going to take it on the chin the rest of the year. But this team looks a lot to me like last year when they kind of quit last year. And you've got so many big names on that. With Boutte out, I don't know how they're going to move the ball. I mean, you lost your biggest wide receiver, and they can't run the ball. And so I don't know how they're going to progress the ball the rest of the season. So it'll be really interesting. Let's flip over to the Red River Shootout real quick.
Woo!
Man, how about, so we had dueling TVs between that and the Ole Miss-Arkansas game. Texas comes out with their hair on fire, and Oklahoma is just shitting the bed. And then Lincoln Riley finally makes the decision to put Austin Williams in there, or Caleb Williams in there, and that kid just took off. And I don't know if Rattler's going to see the field again. I just can't imagine they're going to roll him back out there.
How many people you think have contacted Rattler in the last week?
Oh, man. Hey,
anybody that doesn't think there's some illegal recruiting going on this deal have lost their damn mind.
So there's two questions I've got. Number one, if you've got a Spencer Rattler Heisman ticket, you might as well go ahead and burn that thing because he's not playing again. Two, I want to know how – I wish – if somebody knows this, please hit me up on Twitter. I want to know how his NIL deal is structured because he's not going to be there next year. And it'll be interesting to see how that whole thing is. That's something that we haven't really talked about with the NIL stuff is what's going to happen when these guys aren't on the roster anymore that they've transferred. Are those contracts null and void? How does that work? It'll be something we'll probably find out later. But he's not going to see the field again. Did you see the report this week where an OU student reporter for the OU Daily, I don't even know if that's the name of the paper, but apparently found it, you know, they fogged the windows at the dorms that faced the practice field so students couldn't see them. They did that last year. Well, this kid found a room with a window that with binoculars, he went and he clocked the snaps to see who was getting more snaps, Williams or a Rattler, and Williams got him. And then he interviewed Rattler's dad to ask him what was going to go on, and he was like, well, I think he's just preparing for the game. So I don't think we'll see much of Rattler this week, and maybe not for the rest of the season, because that was the best OU offense we've seen all season by far.
Oh, not even close. That's the OU offense we've all been expecting. And I will tell you this, and the OU defense did a better job on Robinson. I think the Heisman race is wide open, candidly. I don't even know if there's a good candidate right now. But Robinson for Texas is as good as there is out there. That cat's legit.
Yeah.
He is legit. And the guy can run the football. He puts up huge numbers. He really is all they got. I mean, as he goes, they go. And just a lot of good storylines. That was a great game. I was stunned. Texas couldn't close the deal. They looked like they went to sleep. It was like they thought they had them beat.
I think they did.
Like they put it in cruise control.
Yeah.
And then, boy, OU made the switch. That was interesting. I just, you know, a little bit of Georgia-Auburn. That game went a lot like we expected. I was completely shocked at how dominant Georgia's defensive line was against another premier SEC offensive line.
It is filthy. I mean, that's
another premier team. They are just dominating people up front. I mean, teams that are good and recruit well. And Auburn hadn't had a good offensive line in 3 or 4 years. My point is they're recruiting well. It's not a lack of talent. And Georgia is just dominating people. They look like the national title contender. My question is are they going to have enough offensive firepower to win it? But who the hell is going to score enough to beat them?
I don't know. I do think Georgia has to get JT Daniels back to win the Natty.
I agree.
I do not think they can win the Natty and go undefeated with Stenson Bennett. And I think Bennett is playing wonderful football. So, Georgia fans, don't hate on me, but you're going to need JT Daniels to come back. The kid's got he's got a little bit more special of an arm, especially with those injuries that are starting to stack up in the wide receiver core. It's going to be interesting. Kirby's doing that defense with him and Will Muschamp is whoo. But then offensively, they're opening up a little bit. You know, they're not pulling it back and just saying, hey, we're going to lean on the defense. They're putting some points up there. They're playing aggressively. Which I did not expect them to do with Stenson Bennett the last 2 weeks, and they have, and it's been fun to watch.
Cincinnati needs to send a thank you note. They need to send cookies and throw a pizza party for the Aggies.
There's no way. Cincinnati's getting in.
You don't think so? See, I think that loss. I think they do it unless Bama can somehow stay at one loss. And then figure out how to beat Georgia. I think this likely got them in.
I think I'll tell you who I think is going to come really hard the rest of the season. They're off this week, but we're going to be on them a lot the remainder of the season. I think Ohio State now realizes
they're playing well.
No doubt. Yeah, CJ Stroud's getting better. They've still got two of the best receivers in the country. Defensively was where they were struggling. I think getting an off week is going to help them, but I think this team.
Well, changing defense coordinator play calls, which just on a side note. If you've not watched that speech, you got to go watch it. I mean, talk about accountability and a coach answering the bell about himself and talking about how much he was wounded and his pride. Fabulous. I mean, absolutely fabulous lesson for everybody, not just kids, but, I mean, us as adults, when we get our egos wounded and things like that from work or personal or whatever – phenomenal. That is leadership just in a nutshell. Thought it was awesome.
I heard a funny, let me make sure I get this right so I don't screw this up because I've been known to screw up some facts occasionally. I was listening to an interview earlier this week with Brett McMurphy and they were talking about coaches and who's on the hot seat, who's going to go. And McMurphy, he usually is the one that busts the story. He gets the best leads on these things. And anyway, he was going through it, and he said, I'll tell you a funny story about Urban Meyer. I know this because you're talking about Ryan Day and accountability and whatnot up there, but he interviewed all the SEC coaches and asked them if they got into a fight, who they thought would win. And he would not disclose who the coach was that gave him the name, but he said he still is a coach. He said, I think I will win. And he goes, because I'm going to have Urban Meyer come stand next to me, and everybody hates that motherfucker, and they want to beat his ass, and they'll just let me walk through this thing with no problem at all.
Probably Dan. That sounds like a mama coming.
But I thought that was kind of funny because they were talking about him going to USC. I don't know if he's going to be able to get another job with the mess that he's doing there. But, yeah, it's interesting. It's like we've talked about since the summer. I mean, there is a fat middle class, and I think now that we're – stepping into conference play, I do not think these upsets are over. I think we're going to see a lot more of these teams get beat. I won't be surprised if we don't have a maybe even a two-win team possibly sneak into the college football playoff. But I just I have a hard time believing that – I mean, because Cincy's not going to have a quality win the rest of the season. I mean, UCF's not that good with Dylan Gabriel out. Their only hope is the SMU game at the end of November, I think. I don't have the schedule in front of me. Indiana is terrible. And I think Notre Dame's
not very good.
No,
yeah.
Notre Dame may lose three games before it's all said and done. And so I don't know the strength of schedule. And you know all that's going to come into play because they're going to have to try to figure out if Bama loses to – let's say Bama goes undefeated, plays Georgia in the SEC championship game and loses, that might be the only way they can keep those guys out. If they beat Bama in the SEC championship game, then they're both in for sure.
Yeah, if they beat Georgia, you mean, yeah, they beat them.
Excuse me, yeah.
They both get in. Yeah, no doubt. Because I don't look, Florida probably is the only team left on schedule that can beat Georgia. And I don't think they're going to be good enough to do it.
No. Anything else from last week? Any funny notes? Anything like that?
No, just, look, man, this season is getting to be, a lot of fun. I did have a friend chastise me that told me I'm too negative on the Bulldogs, just FYI. That I'm down on the Bulldogs, I'm too negative, and then I need to pep it up. That I need to be carrying the flag. I said I'm just trying to win. They were like, "Is your name right that much?" I thought it was fabulous. It was a great conversation.
Oh, that's some good stuff. So last week we split. We went 4-4, lost the juice. Moves us to 32-22-2 on the season. Scotty, that being said, how about we roll into some Thursday night football and get this thing going? Now, if y'all have been with us a long time, you know Thursday night first half unders is one of my favorite plays. And we might sprinkle one in here this week, but we're going to start off with Georgia Southern, South Alabama. South Alabama's at home, laying 3 here, over-unders 50.5. Georgia Southern with a new head coach, scoring 24 points a game, giving up 32. They're 2-4 straight up, 3-3 against the number. South Alabama scoring 26, 20, only giving up 20. They're 3-2 straight up, 2-3 against the number. A lot of that stuff you can throw out just because of who these teams have had to play coming into it now that we're in conference play. How are we going to start off Thursday night, Scotty?
Man, I like me some UTSA, baby. I mean, that really is the
UTSA? You talking about that, South Alabama?
I mean, South Alabama, yeah. USA. I said UTSA. USA, sorry. I was glancing at a stat. And, here's the thing is I just think Bentley's doing really good. I think he may be the best player in this league.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's a guy who's bounced around. He did a good job at South Carolina. I think he's a good player. And I just think they're a better football team. You can bounce around looking at some different stats and things like that. But I think this South Alabama football team is different. Campbell did a nice job, I think, bringing more talent into this program. And they went ahead and made a coaching change last year. I feel like it's been primed. This is a good situation. Mix in now, you've had a mid-season coaching change at Georgia Southern. They're going on the road. This is not going to be a high-scoring game. I just think you got the best player on the field for South Alabama. And at the end of the day, I think they're able to cover at home a short number, laying 3 against Georgia Southern.
I like it. I do agree with you. I think Jake Bentley is somebody we need to keep our eyes on at South Alabama the rest of the season because he is the best player in the conference. And I think we're going to be able to still find some value on this kid because just nobody's paying that attention. Scotty.
Yeah, a couple of good trends before we leave it.
Yeah, yeah.
Favorites 5-2 against the spread last 7. Home teams 4-0 against the spread last 4.
I like it. I like it. Scotty, next game we got on Thursday, Navy traveling down to Memphis to play here. Over-unders 56. Memphis is laying 10.5. Navy scoring 17 points a game. They're giving up 32, 1-4 straight up, 3-2 against the number. Memphis scoring 36 points a game, giving up 32, 3-3 straight up, 2-4 against the number. Most of you probably just remember the Memphis-Mississippi State game and the debacle that was for Mississippi State. And then Navy has came out of the gates and really struggled. If you don't remember, we talked about it early on. They had to fire the offensive coordinator. And it's Ken's best friend. He brought him back to coach the wide receivers. But they've changed offensive coordinators there. Obviously, they're still running that option offense. But this team's covered the last 3 weeks in a row. And they've played some pretty good teams. I would, you know, they've played UCF, Houston, and SMU, and they have covered all three of these games with a win outright against UCF. Now, granted, that was a game without Dylan Gabriel because they had lost him the week before against Cincinnati. I like this Navy team, man. You're getting 10.5 points, which basically means they're going to have to beat them by 2 touchdowns. Navy has not lost to Memphis by more than 2 touchdowns since 2016. They have stayed within this number. You're coming in a short week that you're going to have to defend this option offense that's probably got some new wrinkles to it from a play calling situation just because they've got a new offensive coordinator in here. I think Navy could even be a live dog to win this one. I haven't put anything on the money line yet, but I love Navy plus 10.5, and I'm flirting with getting involved in the first half under, and I'll put that out tomorrow if I'm going that direction.
These games have been close the last few years. But here's a couple of interesting things. Midshipmen, 16-5 against the spread their last 21 conference games. They're 6-1 against the spread as a road dog. So nice little stat there. I'll take Navy going on the road. I expect a close game. I agree with you. I think they got a chance to win this game straight up. You're getting 10.5. If you're ballsy, you'll take Navy in the money line. I don't know that they win it outright, but boy, you're going to be getting gigantic odds right here. So, but I like Navy a good bit on Thursday night. Short week.
Not like a good short week to try to recover and get up and play the option. A team that's going to run at you like crazy all week long. Anyway, Scott, next game I want to go to, I find this one super interesting. Miami and North Carolina, two teams that came into the season with huge expectations that neither one of them have lived up to. Miami line here, 63 is the over-under. This game, 126 on your rotation sheet. Sorry about that. North Carolina, as we record this, is laying 7. That line is not going to stay there. I think that line is going to start moving. I wouldn't be surprised to see it closer to 9, 9.5 before game time. Miami scoring 30 points a game, giving up 27. They're 2-3 straight up, 1-4 against the number. North Carolina scoring 35 points a game, giving up 26. They're 3-3 straight up, 3-3 against the number. I think North Carolina is going to get right here. This Miami team's a mess. They don't have much of a pass rush. They're going to leave Howell back there with a clean pocket, which I think he's going to be able to go for it. He's throwing for nearly 300 yards a game, and they're running the ball well. They're running for nearly 200 yards a game. So offensively, this team's been putting it up. They've struggled with some turnovers there. Miami changed quarterbacks. Derek King, he is out for the rest of the season. He's having shoulder surgery. So kind of like what we thought, he was hurt, but he got hurt again, and he's out on this one. I think Diaz is dead man walking in Miami. I've heard just in some clippings and some rumors that I've heard is there's been some locker room issues. I heard you had some players that walked out, didn't practice a couple of weeks ago. And so I kind of wonder if they're losing the team here against a North Carolina team that I think still got a better coaching staff. Getting right here, lay the 7, get it before it goes to 7.5, because I guarantee this line's going to move before we get all the way through Friday.
Yeah, I don't disagree. North Carolina has been a mystery this year. I mean, some of the games they've lost, they've looked bad doing it, you know, and yet when you talk about talent on this team, boy, they look like they ought to be better than a 3-3 record. And vice versa, Miami is a 2-3 football team, and they look like they ought to be worse than that. And these two teams collide. I think you're right. I think it's where North Carolina gets right. We're seeing a team that lost leadership last year. It didn't look like they lost huge numbers, but I think they lost good players and players that drove that team, especially those two backs. I think those guys kind of put that team on their shoulders at points last year. But I think this is an opportunity for them to get right. And I just don't think Miami's as good of a football team. I think the quarterback change has actually probably helped Miami a little bit. I think this is going to be a high-scoring football game. But at the end of the day, I think North Carolina is a touchdown better.
I like it. Scotty, let's stay in the ACC. Pitt traveling to Virginia Tech, little inner Sandman here. Over-under is 57.5. Rotation on this game is 127, 128. Virginia Tech getting 5 points at home. Pittsburgh scoring 52 points a game, giving up 22. They're 4-1 straight up, 4-1 against the number, and they're 5-0 to the over. Little tip where we may be going here. Virginia Tech scoring 24 points a game, giving up 18, 3-2 straight up, 2-3 against the number, 1-4 to the under on this one. This is going to be an interesting game. Nard Dog has finally let the offense go. And how about a guy we have only talked about one time, but my man, twice actually, all season, Kenny Pickett. This guy is killing it at Pitt this year. I mean, he's averaging 389 yards a game passing, 10 yards an attempt. This guy is absolutely getting it done. It's completely against everything Narduzzi typically wants to do, which is run ball control, you know, control them from a defensive standpoint. They're running with tempo. I mean, they hung in there. They nearly shit the bed against Tennessee with the turnovers early, had to come back and win that game. I think this Pitt team's a live dog to win the ACC. That'd be a sneaky one to get in there. But I like the over here at 57.5. I think Pitt's going to go big on Virginia Tech, but I think Virginia Tech's still going to score 28 points, and I think this one sails over the number.
Well, there's no question they have been scoring a ton of points. I mean, Pitt has been – I mean, they've been a scoring machine. So it certainly makes you feel that way. This does feel like that it ought to be a high scoring football game. The bottom line is, here's a great stat for you. Panthers are 8-1 against the on the over under, 8-1 to the over in their last 9 conference games, 7-1 in their last 8 road games. Those are two big stats as we look at going for the over here. Bottom line is, they've been giving up points, but they've been scoring points. I think this is a high-scoring affair, and I like the over. I think it sails over this number.
Scotty, let's get to one of your favorite teams, Big Ten noon kickoff, game 131-132 on your rotation sheet. Sparty traveling to Indiana. Over-under here is 48.5. Indiana getting 5 points at home. Sparty scoring 36 points a game, giving up 19, 6-0 straight up, 5-1 to the number. Indiana scoring 24 points a game, giving up 28. They're 2-3 straight up, 1-4 against the number. Scotty, I know you got some love for this game, and I know where you're going to go with it, but why don't you just enlighten us all and tell us how we're going to win this bet?
I don't know what in the world got me on the Michigan State train early. I really wish I could tell you it's just kind of a gut feel. This team is playing really, really good football. Yep. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I mean, they've gone on the road, performed well. They performed well at home. They played what I thought was a really good football game, and what I expected was going to be a hard-fought game against Nebraska at home. They've done, I mean, really, really well. One of the things I like is their performance on the road, especially this year. I mean, they went down and throttled Miami. I mean, just throttled them. Throttled Northwestern. They're 6-0 against the spread their last 6 games as a road favorite. So that gives me a pretty good gut feel. Spartans also 12-5 against the spread their last 17 against these guys. The favorite is 12-4 their last 16 meetings in this ball game. The bottom line is, I like Michigan State. I think they're a better football team. I know Indiana's changed quarterbacks. We felt like that needed to happen a couple of weeks ago for Indiana because we didn't feel like Penix was healthy. That's finally made a switch. At the end of the day, now this team's reeling a little bit. And yeah. I think they're facing – look, it's going to come to a halt for Michigan State at some point. This team's not going to go 11-1. They're not that kind of football team, but it is a good football team. And I think what they do is a lot like Kentucky. They're beating up on a lot of teams – that are mid-level teams with equal or lesser talent than them. I think that's exactly what happens on Saturday.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you here. And I'll tell you the reason that you like this team is Kenneth Walker III. My man can absolutely –
boy, I love that kid.
He can run the rock, man. And they're not scared to line up and do it. I like Mel Tucker. The reason Michigan State is having a good season is because they're winning the games they should win. They haven't really played in a clunker yet. They're getting it done. They're beating up on teams that they're better than. They're more physical. I've thought Indiana was fool's gold all summer. I've got a big ticket that's going to cash this week if Michigan State wins this game for the under on their season win total. I'm going to ride with that. But yeah, they're going to win this game. I don't think until we see a matchup against some of these bigger teams in the in that Big Ten, are we going to see them get challenged and maybe get exposed a little bit. But they've played well. They have an identity. When they come on the field, you know what you're going to get. You have no idea what you're going to get out of Indiana. None whatsoever. And so I like Michigan State and the brand of ball that they're playing. I'm ready to roll with it. Scotty, let's move on. Mac, game of the week. Testicle Tech traveling to Ypsilanti to play on the gray concrete floor up there against Eastern Mish. Over-under's 55. This is game 153 on your rotation sheet. Over-under's 55. Eastern Mish getting 1.5 at home. Testicle Tech scoring 23 points a game, giving up 28. They're 3-3 straight up, 2-4 against the number. Eastern Mish scoring 29 points a game, giving up 22. They're 4-2 straight up, 2-4 against the number. How are we going to do on our Mac deep dive right here?
Well, you know that I love, you know that I love taking Mac games. I mean, it is just kind of, it just kind of is what it is. Road team 7-1 in the series against the spread. That's first, but. But Ball State has been really good the last two seasons in the conference. Obviously, they won it last year, but when they get in conference play, they have been a little bit different. They're 5-1 against the spread. Their last six conference games, only one of those we were on the other end on against with Toledo earlier in the year. So I like Ball State here. This number, it just seems tight to me, and I just feel like Ball State's a better team. Home or road, I do think this may be a little bit more of a score fest, but I think the difference in this ball game is going to be Ball State's defense. I think they're able to close it out. I think they win this ball game by a touchdown.
I like it. I like it. I like it. I'm going to roll with you on that one, 100%. Just rolling with Testicle Tech, getting it done. Scotty, let's go to a game I like, game 187 on your rotation sheet. I am not going to get off my main man, Bailey Zappi. Western Kentucky's traveling to Old Domino. Over-under here, 67.5. Old Domino's getting 12.5 at home. Western Kentucky's scoring 40 points a game, giving up 38. They're 1-4 straight up, 3-2 against the number, and they're 5-0 to the over. Old Domino's scoring 24 points a game, giving up 30. They're 1-5 straight up, 3-2 against the number, and they're 3-3 to the over. I'm going over here. I've ridden Western Kentucky. I think this is our third time to play Western Kentucky on the over. Bailey Zappi in that receiving core is getting it done. They're averaging 460 yards a game through the air. But defensively, this team is challenged. There is no doubt about it. And they will give up some points. They have done it every single week that they've been here. I don't think Old Domino is very good. And that's the reason I think Western Kentucky gets right in this spot. I can see this team scoring 52 to 55 points by themselves. You know, they've had to play a pretty difficult schedule considering – who Old Domino's played. I mean, I know Indiana, we just garbage can those guys, but they played a good game against Indiana, 31-33. They played Michigan State in a shootout, 31-48. They just played a great UTSA team. We didn't even talk about UTSA. I don't know how we overlooked what they're doing down there, but a 46-52 shootout. So every game they've played has sailed over the number. The numbers are starting to creep up. I would play this number all the way up to 72. I think Western Kentucky is going to get it done, put up a big number, get a chance to get a big win, put some confidence in this team. They haven't won since week one when they played Tennessee Martin. I think they're going to put up a ton of points and leave the back door open for Old Domino to get some garbage time there. We don't need much from them because I think Bailey Zappi and Western Kentucky is going to get it done. Let's lay the over at 67.5.
Over 5-1 the last six here. 8-0 the last eight for the Hilltoppers. A lot of over-under trends you can look at it. In this ball game, over under head to head, 5-1 the last six meetings in this ball game. The end of the day, this is fling it fast. You start betting overs. You need teams that want to score. Ricky Raines, an offensive guy, they obviously want to try to score for Old Dominion. Let's get after it. Let's fling it. Let's score some points. I think Western Kentucky, I think they win this game comfortably. I think they likely cover this number, but I think they go over as well.
I like the Ricky Raines reference. I guarantee you most people are like, who is Ricky Raines that just heard that? You got to really be a fan to know about some Ricky Raines in there. Let's go on, Scotty. Let's talk about a team that got a gigantic win. Biggest win this team has had in a long time. Game 171 on your rotation sheet. Let's talk about Texas A&M. They're going to be traveling to Columbia, Missouri. Over-under here is 59.5. Missouri's getting 9 at home. A&M scoring 26 points a game, giving up 16. They're 4-2 straight up, 3-3 against the number. Missouri's giving up, scoring 37 points a game, giving up 37. They're 3-3 straight up, 0-6 against the number. Do the Aggies have a hangover in this one, or do they come out with their hair on fire and blow the doors off of Mizzou?
I think it is entirely likely that they may have a little hangover, but you want to know what a hangover cure is? Being able to hand off to what may be the best running back in the league in Spiller and just pound the shit out of one of the worst defenses in college football. This is an abysmal, and there is no other way to say it, abysmal offensive line. I mean defensive line. They give it up in chunks. It is nonstop. They are, I think they're 129 in total defense, but it's right around that number. They are awful. Awful is Missouri against the run. They're giving up 6.1 yards a carry, 288 yards. And here comes a team that wants to run the football. What do you need to do to be successful on the road? Run the football. What do you need to be successful on the road? A really shitty run defense. If you want to run the football, that is exactly what we're going to get. I think A&M is going to pound on Missouri. I think they're going to lean on them. I think Missouri will try to fight hard. This is a short number. I don't think this number is nearly big enough. I think A&M wins this game by 2 touchdowns, and I think they just steamroll over them. Do they play flat in the first half? That is entirely possible. But nothing gets you well like being able to run the football. And look, Calzada answered the bell. I mean, that gives that kid a lot of confidence. We've talked about it. They've said they saw it in practice. We finally saw it on the field against against the greatest program in the country. And he gets it done. Now they go on the road. But this is on the road against a team who's struggling. You know, a 3-3 football team, but they're 0-6 against the spread. We have talked about this a ton. It's one of the reasons we like Western Kentucky with the points and the over. Same thing here. I'm going to keep betting against Mizzou to cover because they hadn't done it all year. They're 0-6 against the spread. We're going to ride Texas A&M and CJ Spiller right to a cover.
Isaiah Spiller. Oh, we've been doing this a long time. Hey, let me give you some numbers real quick. In the last 5 games, they have played North Texas, Tennessee, Boston College, Southeastern Missouri State, and Kentucky. In those games, they have given up 5 yards an attempt for 188 against North Texas, 7.5 yards for 458 against Tennessee, 10 yards an attempt, 275 yards against Boston College, 11 yards an attempt for 294 against Southeastern Missouri State, and 8.6 yards a carry for 340 yards against Kentucky.
Those are Yost stats.
That's big numbers, dude. I mean, big numbers. And I think A&M comes in here. I agree with you. This offensive line has not played great this season, but I think they got some confidence last week. Bama's defensive front was a little bit strange, but they ran right at them. I think they do the same thing here and just gas can these guys all day long until the fact that they can open it up a little bit and sling it. I could see this game going over the total as well because I could see A&M hanging a double nickel on these guys pretty easy. If they come out hot, I definitely think this game will go over the total. But I'll stick with you. Lay the 9 on the road against Mizzou. Woo, Eli Drinkwitz is not enjoying his time in Columbia, Missouri. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, they've already fired their defensive line coach. It's just kind of a mess. I mean, that's the deal. They're not a good football team against the run. I don't think – and the thing is defensively, I just don't think this is a very talented football team.
No.
I think A&M is going to have their way with them.
I could get on board with that. Scotty, that's the 8 games we've got on the board this week. Let's rapid fire a few. Mississippi State at home playing Alabama. How the Bullfrogs going to do? You're going to get a chance to show me a little love right here for all your folks out there that want to listen to you talk.
I truly have no feel for this game. Bama was so dominant last year in this game, and it just feels like that they're going to – but I don't have a feel. They looked so bad last week. I mean, State went into College Station a week beforehand and drilled those guys. I mean, they really drilled them. They didn't play well in the fourth quarter and still won. You know, and you watch that and you think, how does that translate? Alabama had some flaws, but Alabama dropped a ton of passes. I don't have a good feel for this game. I don't think Bama's going to cover that number. It's a big number. But, you know, does Leach have enough to get it done? And I don't know about that either. But, you know, at the end of the day, Mike Leach is beating the two best teams on the schedule. Does that continue?
I don't know.
Beating NC State, he beat NC State, you beat Texas A&M, and he's lost to probably the two worst teams on the schedule, LSU and Memphis. So what do you get? And I think that really is kind of the deal. That's the thing, what I don't have a lot of feel for it. But I'll certainly be watching it and certainly hoping there's lightning in a bottle. Bulldogs have not beaten Alabama since Saban's first year, Sylvester Croom's last year, 2008. So be huge for Mississippi State. But I expect a close game, but I don't expect a win.
A couple lines that stink to me. We'll hit them back-to-back. UCLA traveling to UW. Washington's laying 1.5 in this one. I've been digging around and trying to find somebody that can shed some light on this to me, and I have not found them yet. I know UCLA laid a stinker against Arizona State a couple of weeks ago when we were on them. I still think this is a pretty good team that can run the ball. UW to me has just not looked good, and the fact that they're laying points now in this one is just a weird spot. It's kind of one of those games that, for me, looking at the spread and having tried to win money for as long as we have doing this, it's like you almost have to. I mean, I want to bet UCLA, but with this line stinking, and I think UCLA should be favored, but with this line stinking the way it is, it's almost like you've got to lay Washington at 1.5 or walk away from it, because there's obviously something out there that I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I think I think UCLA is definitely the better team. I think people are still looking at Washington and looking at personnel. And we've obviously got some people that listen to the podcast, huge Washington guys, and they just hate this coaching staff. And at some point, you do have to question that, because this is a more talented team than I think their success is showing. But boy, they've been bad against the spread. And I feel like UCLA is going to go on the road and win this ball game.
Next one that's gross, homecoming, Waco, Texas, Baylor, BYU. Baylor's laying 6.5 points in this game. Baylor's offense, to me, has not been great. It's a little bit of fool's gold. The stats show that they're good. Now, granted, you got to remember, Baylor's offensive coaching staff came from BYU last year. Aranda already came out this week for Baylor and said, we'll be changing all of our calls this week as we're playing BYU, and they would know them. Kalani Sitake on the other side said, we're just going to go out there and we're going to execute. This will probably be the best team BYU's played so far on the road. And Baylor's defense is legit, but laying a touchdown here, line opened at 4.5 and it's moved up to 6. And I kind of think it might have been a head fake, but I've talked to a couple of people that are way more in the know than I am on this stuff, and they seem to think Baylor's the right side here. But just laying a touchdown, whew. I don't know, but we'll see. We'll find out.
But BYU, Mark, don't overthink it a little bit in that. We watch BYU and they're winning these games against Utah, against Arizona, and they're awful.
Yeah.
You're like, how are they winning these games? Like, I'm watching it, and I'm like, how in the hell are they doing this? You know, they're not the best team. They're not the most talented guy. It's like they got tons of breaks. Things went their way. And last week, I think, that was more what I was expecting to see from BYU this season. They got drubbed by Boise, and this is not a good Boise football team. And yet at some points you start thinking, I mean, am I wrong about BYU? You've watched them win these games, and you think, well, is this a team that just figures out how to get it done? Because there are teams like that, and then last week it went just the other way. Maybe a lot of that, they may just be coming back to being who we thought preseason BYU was going to be. They're finally looking more like that team, because, you know, it's turning out that Utah's terrible. They're significantly worse than we thought they were going to be.
Oh, God.
And Herm Edwards' team's got a ton of, even though they're very talented, it's a team that's got a lot of challenges, you know.
Arizona State should have won that game. No question.
I haven't watched that game.
Couple more. You got Oklahoma laying 13.5 against TCU. Quarterback at TCU, Max Duggan, nicked up. It's questionable for Saturday. I bet he goes. Zach Evans, questionable. I bet he goes. If in the event that it comes out that those guys aren't playing, this line's going to shoot to 17 so fast that you won't be able to get down on it. Oklahoma, I do expect them to change quarterbacks this week. And I'm going to try to pay attention to this one, and I will not be scared to lay 13.5 here, as I think OU could be looking to get right on offense. And if those two guys for TCU do not play, I think they will shut down this TCU offense pretty well from a defensive standpoint. Kind of interested in that one. Texas, do they get off the mat? They're laying 5 against Oklahoma State, who we joke might be the best team in the Big 12. But offensively, man, Oklahoma State is just – there's not a lot of explosion from this team. And so it'll be interesting. Gundy's press conference this week talking about what they did in their off week getting ready for this Texas spot, because Oklahoma State's been a challenge for Texas for the better part of a decade and a half now. As he basically said, we're going back to fundamentals. You know, we got to work on our offensive fundamentals. Defense has been great. And so it'll be interesting. I think this is going to be a great game to watch, but I don't have an interest in who's going to win it.
I think this game's going to go under 60. But the stat's going to be, what can Texas do running the ball against a team that has been stingy against the run? I mean, they're giving up 2.8 yards carry, 91 yards, a game on defense is Oklahoma State. And then you got Texas rolling in, 245 yards rushing, 5.7 a carry. And I said earlier in the podcast, I think Bijan Robinson is legitimately a Heisman candidate. I don't care that this team's not winning that many games. That guy's a stud. That guy's a player.
Oh, yeah.
You can't watch college football and not think that guy's legit. I mean, if that guy is at Georgia or at Bama or somewhere like that with legitimate talent around him, that guy is cruising to a Heisman. I mean, he's a stud. So I think that's the key stat for me. I think Oklahoma State's live dog in this. You're getting plus 220. This is actually my underdog, what I think is my underdog play of the week. I think they got a chance to win. I think legitimately go down there, chance to win. They've kept games close and low scoring, and that defense is what's getting it done. I mean, they're just not – I mean, they're only giving up – they're giving up less than 315 yards a game on defense in the Big 12. Now, I understand they're just getting into Big 12 play. I mean, this is a league that's supposed to fire it all over the field. They went on the road at Boise. I mean, these are teams that are traditionally good offenses and score points and move the football. And here you go with Oklahoma State playing nasty defense. So, I think it's a fascinating game. I'll take Okie State because of the odds is what I like. At 5.5, you're not normally getting plus 220. And so I like the odds in this.
I will ride with you in that. And if we're going to tag team a money line parlay, hang on, let me give you what I want. I just had it pulled up. Somebody's going to do some math here. Game 159, Air Force and Boise State. Boise's getting 4 at home. But the money line in this one, hang on a sec. I think it's around your 220 number. Yeah, it's at 160 right now. Air Force is getting 160. We could tie together Boise State, Air Force and Oklahoma State in a little money line parlay, and that one pays out 6.5 to 1. I could do that. I can get down with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something interesting. The other line I think is interesting. Liberty's not nearly as good as they were last year.
No.
But Ulamo is not very good. Even though they've won 2 games this year. I don't know how the hell they beat Troy, but that's a whole other story. Liberty laying 32.5 at Ulamo. That is a fascinating line to me. I'm not going to tell you I'm going to bet this game because I'm probably not. But that is a huge number that I think Liberty is going to cover.
Ooh, man. Liberty is not as good. I may bet Ulamo and just hold my nose in that one. A couple more that I think are interesting. UTEP, La Tech, late game out in El Paso. Skip Holtz. God, that team has just overperformed all season long from what I expected. Of course, UTEP is 5-1 straight up. They're one game away from being bowl eligible. No one's going to watch this, but it could be an interesting game. I don't know that I would lay 7. With La Tech on the road here against this UTEP team, Minor Nation. Hawaii coming to the mainland. getting 14 against Nevada, a team that I think is actually really good. Plus, it's going to be in the 40s for game time temperature in this one, maybe a little wind. So you could see Nevada kind of put it on Hawaii. They've struggled when they've come over to the mainland. And two other games that got my interest. I think Florida is going to gas can LSU, by the way.
I think that may too.
Iowa-Purdue. Iowa's laying 11.5. They're at home. It's a 2:30 start. It's going to be rocking in there at Kinnick. I get it. But, man, Purdue, they're not as terrible as I would have thought they were going to be. And you've got to think at some point Iowa is going to lay a dud and still win. But, I mean, they're laying a lot.
Well, that Iowa offense is awful.
Yeah, it's not good. And they're laying 11.5 in this one. That's a lot of
Clifford
points.
Doesn't get hurt. Clifford doesn't get hurt. They drilled them last week. Absolutely. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of interested in that Purdue game. I'm going to dig around on it a little bit more. You got anything else you're looking into?
The only other game I like, I've got a little bit of love for Arkansas. I think Bo Nix, we've talked about this a ton, struggles on the road. I think the Hogs get back. The only reason I'm not betting this game and why I didn't want it in our plays is Arkansas's had two rough games in a row. And now I think getting home can get you up. And I think that makes a huge difference in this ball game for Arkansas. But it's an 11 a.m. game. That's the thing that I didn't like about it. But I think Arkansas is – I think they're 3.5, 4 better than Auburn. I think Nix is going to struggle on the road. I think this defense for Arkansas is pretty good. I think they get back right. But, boy, you talk about a game that can get Auburn back right if they go up there and win. So, that is a huge game in the Southeastern Conference in the Western Division.
It'll be rocking, I guarantee you, up there for that game. Those Arkansas fans are still excited. Even with a loss, they're excited. Oh, man. That's all I got, brother. I mean, I've gone through this board up and down. I could probably commentate on almost every game that's here. I could think you could take Marshall against North Texas. San Jose State, what a weird spot this is in. The kid playing quarterback for San Jose State was a wide receiver the first week of the season. Now he's a starting QB over there. Cal, Oregon, I got no idea what's going to happen in that spot. Cal is underperformed. Oregon, I think, may with that loss from Alabama, thinks they could get right and sneak in. So there's a lot of fun games this weekend. It's not a very sexy slate, I'm not gonna lie to you. If you want to take your wife out to dinner, go play with the kids, this is a great weekend to do it, because there's not a lot of marquee games that are on this slate.
No, there's not. My favorite game of the week is probably A&M. I mean, when you got a back like Spiller, and Isaiah Spiller is a good back and has been for what now, 3 years in a row he's been their starter. Really good football player, and you're playing a run defense that bad. They ought to be able to control this football game. A&M doesn't go win that game by 10, and the bottom line is that last week's a total fluke. That's the bottom line. I can't say it's any different. If they can't win this game by more than 9, then it wasn't an upset for Mississippi State and Arkansas to beat them. They're just both better football teams. What the upset was and was the surprise was A&M. They ought to be able to go up and control the line of scrimmage in that ball game.
Is that your top play of the week?
Yep.
A&M -9. I'm going back to Western Kentucky. Over 67.5. I like this team. I like getting it done. Scotty, let's get us some big wins this week. Man, we've kind of been flirting around. We had a bad week. Game over 500, game at 500. Let's push all that behind us. Maybe let's go 8-0 and get to 40-22 on the season. Keep this train on the tracks, make a few bucks, and have some fun.
Folks, sounds good.
Folks, we appreciate the download. You can hit us up both on Twitter. I'm at NitMark. He's Scott Denson 1. You can actually hit us on the Crazy Sheet, and we get those as well. Enjoy it. Give us some ratings, reviews. We love all the commentary. Love hearing from you guys. Let's try to make a few bucks, and we'll talk to you next week.